maybe, you know, you've met somebody, crossed paths, somebody that be something they read, get the gospel. So I put them back there. But back this year, there's something new, different. And it's a daily devotional written by a friend of mine called Boots on the Ground. 65 days devotional, military theme. Everyone corresponds with a date in military history. And it's a King James devotional. And I just wanted to point it out. They're back on the table. And that's all I got to say about any of that. Take your Bible tonight. Go to John chapter 19. We'll start right there. John chapter 19. Now, let me see. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You've heard a lot of preaching in a couple days. You've heard two revivals worth of preaching already. And we're not done yet. Amen. And so, John chapter 19, I want you to look with me in verse 15. And it says this, "But they cried out, 'Away with him, away with him, crucify him.' Pilate saith unto them, 'Shall I crucify your king?' The chief priests answered, 'We have no king but Caesar.'" Yeah, how about that? Well, roughly 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, put to death, executed as a common criminal. Amen? And he wasn't crucified alone. All four Gospels mention that there were two thieves, one on either side of Jesus Christ. Matthew 27, verse 38 says this, Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads. Verse 44 says this, The thieves also, thieves, plural, the thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Both of them. Mark put it like this, verse chapter 15, verse 27, And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand, the other on his left. Verse 32 says, Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him. John doesn't mention, only thing John says in chapter 19, verse 18 is, when they crucified him and two other with him on either side, one and Jesus in the midst. The one we're used to is Luke's account, and it says in verse chapter 23, go ahead and go there, chapter 23, Luke 23 and verse 33, and it says, And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand, and the other on the left. And jump down to verse 39, and it says this, And one of the malefactors which was hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. Matthew and Mark state that both thieves reviled and railed on the Lord. Luke only mentions that one did. There's no contradiction. My thought, my question to myself is, evidently, they might have both started out that way, but evidently one of them had a serious change of heart. And it says in verse 40, but the other answering rebuked him. He's rebuking his partner in crime. I don't know, but definitely a guy in the same condition. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? I just got to wondering what changed this guy's mind. And you think about that, and I thought of this, maybe it's the way the Lord was handling being nailed to that cross. He's not out there begging for his life. He's not whining, complaining, or crying. He's not crying, this is unfair, I'm innocent. Amen. He's not doing any of that. I just wonder this, what if the Lord, he's now where you got the scenario, he's on the cross in the middle, amen? He's been catching the blues from everybody going by. The one thief had a change of heart. And I just wonder this, what if the Lord, after the Pharisees, the soldiers, the people mocking him, and then these two thieves reviling him, I wonder, hanging on that cross, if he just didn't think to himself, enough is enough. Amen? I think, what if he just looked up at those thieves, eyeball to eyeball? Now, that one probably turned away, but this one here, he saw something he'd never seen. I just wonder about that, because if you look at Luke 22 and 61, it tells us that all it took was a look from the Lord to get Peter's attention. Verse 61 there in Luke 22 says, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And verse 62 said, and Peter went out, and wept bitterly. I don't know what caused this guy to change, have a change of heart, but he saw something, that's for sure. He quit railing on the Lord and said in verse 42, back in Luke 23, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Now he sees him for who he is. He's not just another criminal nailed to the cross, to a cross, like it happened many times before and many times since. He sees this guy's different, and he addresses him as Lord. Boy, and that packs a lot of punch right there.
Amen, amen.
Remember Paul and Silas telling that Philippian jailer in Acts 16, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Or Paul writing in Romans chapter 10, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He saw him who he is. Recognizing Jesus Christ tonight, not just a historical figure, religious figure, good person. Recognizing Jesus Christ as the Lord.
Amen.
That's the ticket. That's a ticket to heaven.
Yes,
it was for this guy.
Amen.
It was for me 30 years ago.
Yes, sir.
Amen. How about you?
Yes.
Now, you might be in our midst tonight and you're in church on a Saturday night. Fanatic. People driving up down this road, let me tell you something. They may see cars here on Sunday. They see cars here on Wednesday. That don't faze nobody no more. There are churches all over America. But they seen that parking lot full Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and now Saturday night, and they are fully convinced that you guys are a bunch of fanatics.
Amen.
And they need the witness. Someone asked me one time, Brother Spurgeon, you're not one of them fanatics, are you? And I said, no, no, no. But that's what I'm shooting for. Brother Carter mentioned that word legalist. I love that. Somebody asked me one time, because we have some standards.
Yes, sir.
Amen. We have some Holy Ghost convictions.
Yes, sir.
Personally, I believe that those are the things that separate Bible Christianity from religion.
Yeah,
this thing's personal. Yeah, Holy Spirit moves in. He'll speak to you if you want him to.
Yeah,
but some, I guess they don't. I said something and somebody said, Brother Spurgeon, are you a legalist? And I thought to myself, well, that's about the last thing I thought anybody would ever call me. I mean, I'm the professional outlaw. Amen. You don't believe that? There's another book back there. Amen. And I didn't say yes or no. I just said this to him. I don't know, but are you an illegalist?
Amen.
This guy recognized the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord. Amen. And I just think of it like this. Brother Darling and I talked about it today. Talk about pushing your luck. Talk about better late than never. This guy is moments, minutes, maybe an hour away from his death. And he finally got it. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 8 says, better the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. I believe it's good to start right. And some of you, And not just you kids, because some of you, first time I came here, sitting here with wives and husbands and children, some of you are kids.
Amen.
When I first came here 16 years ago. Amen. I believe a good start can lead to a good finish.
Yes, sir. Amen.
So like Ben preached, you stick.
Yes, sir.
Come hell or high water,
amen.
You stick.
Amen.
There ain't nothing out there. But I'm also happy to report some of us had a rough start. Some of us had a late start.
Yes, sir. Amen.
But by the grace of God, we can finish, right?
Amen.
And how you finish is more important than how you started anyway. Amen. This guy had a couple things going for him. I'll give him some credit. I didn't forget to pray. Don't even look at me like that. Amen. We'll get there. This guy, to his credit, never sinned one time after he got saved. First thing, though. Well, you can laugh, but I'll tell you what, I wish that was true of me.
Amen.
I'll tell you something else I wish was true of me. He witnessed every chance he got.
Amen.
I only got one chance, but he did. He witnessed for the Lord Jesus Christ when he rebuked that guy. Amen. I wish that was true of me. I'm so glad that this guy got saved because he is our prime example that baptism is not necessary for salvation.
Amen.
I said it before. I don't know if he is here. I don't remember things much. But I said, when I get to heaven, I'm going to look up the maniac of Gadara, that guy from Mark 5. And I'm going to ask him this. Where's that thief? Where's that thief that was crucified next to Jesus Christ? I said, take me to him. You say, why? Because when the three of us get together, we're gonna shout and we're going to rejoice and we're going to praise God because the three of us will know beyond any shadow of a doubt that the only way we're up there is by the grace of God.
Amen.
I got news for you too. The same goes for you.
Yes, sir. Amen.
The only way any of us are getting up there is the grace of God.
Yes, amen.
And I'm glad this guy got saved. He went to paradise right from the cross. Conversely, the other guy, he went straight down. But I can't help thinking, and it's what I want to preach on tonight for a few minutes. Trust me. He missed out on some things. Amen. So that's what I'm preaching. I missed opportunities. Father, we do come to you once again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray and ask God, your spirit would just bear witness to the word. And may it be a help and a blessing to your people. If there's somebody in here that's not saved, I pray they don't miss an opportunity to get saved. And I thank you for the honor and privilege to stand in the pulpit of my dear friend, amongst many friends, for these many years. And just pray and ask that everything goes on both sides of this pulpit is according to thy will, acceptable in thy sight. And we'll thank you for that. In Jesus Christ's name, amen and amen. All right, now this guy got in. He got in. I mean, he went to paradise. I mean, it said somewhere. I didn't look it up. But that day, he was there that day. Amen. He went right to heaven. Your preacher will explain Abraham's bosom in Sunday school after I'm gone. But you get the drift, right?
Amen.
But this guy missed out on some things. He never got a chance to get things right with his family. No, I mean, right there from the cross, there was no going home. I would say across the board that this is probably true, that someone being executed as a criminal would have a lot of regrets, don't you think? I mean, not just that he got caught and he's being put to death, but you'd have a moment to assess your life, and I don't know how anybody that's remotely honest could not come up with this thought that, boy, I blew it. And he no doubt had a lot of regrets choosing a life of crime and taking it from somebody that knows is the epitome of selfishness.
Amen.
Yeah. You got to blind yourself to the consequences. We had sayings, do the time, do the crime, do the time. Yep, and we had four guys on death row when I got saved. Over 100 doing life in prison. Buried 41. Amen, and we lived by that creed. Amen. For 15 years. Amen. Problem is this. You can embrace that creed if you want, but truth of the matter is, when it says in Galatians chapter 6, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap.
Amen.
Problem is, others reap what you sow.
Amen.
When I got arrested and I was looking at all them years in prison, the club club came in. They paid 10 grand for my lawyer cash that morning. I had a couple hundred bucks in my commissary account. I had more money in my commissary account for potato chips and candy bars than some of the guys on my range needed to make bond. All the money in the world, hot rod lawyer, didn't mean nothing. Amen. Club, what do? We had all them guys in prison anyway. Hey, we'll help you. We'll write letters to you. We'll come visit you. But life goes on. And I understood that because I lived that way too. But there was a gray-haired man and woman in Tennessee that prayed for me year in and year out from when I left home at 18 to go into the paratroopers. To them, life on the road with a motorcycle club. And buddy, their heart, there wasn't no going on for them. Their heart was ripped out.
Amen, preacher.
And I hurt the two people the most that loved me the most, cared about me the most. And I didn't realize it. I mean, I had a great relationship with my folks. I just kept everything from them that would hurt them. Or at least I thought I was. I insisted on living my way and doing my thing, but I respected my folks and I loved my folks. And now push has come to shove and their heart broken. Their little David has made a mess. This guy never got a chance to get right with his family. I don't know if he had a wife or kid, but many criminals do. I mean, the visitation rooms in penitentiaries all over the country are often full on visitation day. Amen. We had a guy who was in, I was in Louisiana back in January, end of January. And got to go, I was preaching, and I was, just got there, and there was a guy standing in the parking lot. He'd been there in the morning, and I didn't get a chance to talk to him. He was a visitor. He wasn't saved. So I went over and started talking to him. His name is Rick. He was the same age I was when I got saved. He was 37. I said, "How you doing?" I didn't get a chance to say hi and blah, blah, blah. And I offered him a track, and he looked at the track. He said his dad was a Hell's Angel. And, of course, we're at war with them. So when he saw the track, you know, he decided to tell me about his dad. His dad's doing life in Angola Prison in the swamps of Louisiana, one of the most notorious prisons in the United States. It is so deep in the swamp. If you got over the wall, the snakes and the gators would get you. Amen? And a lot of guys go in there and never come out. And this guy's telling me about how he was raised around a club just like the one I was in and got real close and took some rides with him and been courted. And he's at a crossroads in his life. And boy, I tell you what, God brought him into my life just in time. Amen. Brought me into his. And I got to talk with old Rick. And I said, "Rick, your dad's going to go to hell if he don't get saved. So are you." And I told him what Jesus Christ did for me. And he admitted he was a sinner. He was ripe for the picking.
Amen.
He said, "What do I do?" We're outside before church had even started. We're standing in the back of an old beat up Ford Taurus, paint faded. Amen. I said, "We can pray right here on the back of this car, man. There ain't nothing religious about it. It's an honesty with God issue."
Amen.
Amen. His dad was in prison, but his son got saved that day. Amen. Got baptized a couple weeks later. Amen. I don't know if this guy was a husband or not, but if he was, he probably wasn't a very good one. Amen. If he's a dad, he set a horrible example, didn't he? Now from the cross, he knows it. And he asked for forgiveness. He asked the Lord. "Remember me." No water tonight, huh? Did you drink it all? Okay. This thing going. Do you have insurance? Because when I trip over this, you know. An angel brought. Did you see that? I got good peripheral vision. I didn't even get. Thank you, Lord. Can I say I love that woman right there? You know why I call her Mrs. Wonderful? One of the reasons, one of the many reasons. Is that you okay? You see that thing out there, that motorhome out there? She's been living, that's the third one. But she's been on the road with me for 20 3 years.
Amen. Amen.
You know, I know. You know, you guys probably think I'm a really great guy. Don't answer that. But she knows the real me.
Yes, amen.
Amen. And her love for Jesus Christ and desire to serve God keeps her with me.
Amen.
Amen. Now, that's why I call her Mrs. Wonderful. Anybody that ride with me for 23 years, I'll call them wonderful.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. So anyway, I know this guy never got a chance to get things right with his family, and I'm sad about that. All right, I'll put this in here. Yeah. All right. Never got a chance to apologize to his mother for breaking her heart. He probably did many times. I got saved November 30th, 1990. Cell 2, E3 North Range, federal holding, county jail. Amen. I was in that cell locked up, 6 o'clock in the morning. Prayed and asked Jesus Christ to forgive me. I called prisoners. I got a legal pad. You notice how guys in jail turn into, you know, little jailhouse lawyers. And, we, you know, we sit there and take notes. And that's just how it is. And I had some pages of things I was going to ask my lawyer to ask the prosecutor. Well, all that junk. And boy, that morning I got saved, and I ripped everything off that legal pad, threw it away. I'm talking about the first hour. And I wrote a letter. I wrote a letter to my mother. I wrote a letter to my mom and dad down in Tennessee. And I told them I got saved. I told them that all those prayers finally paid off. And I thanked them. And then I probably spent 2 pages apologizing for the shame and the disgrace and the heartache that I had caused all them years. Now, that wasn't me. That was just fruit. I didn't call the club and say, hey, I got saved. No, I had a burden for them two people that cared for me and stuck with me through thick and thin. I told my mother in a letter, I said, If we never have a conversation outside of a federal prison visitation room for the rest of my life, they were in their late 60s, I was looking at 37 years at first, and I said, if we never speak again outside of a visitation room, I want you to know I'll see you in heaven.
Amen.
And thank you for praying. Amen. This guy never got a chance to do that. Never got a chance to tell his wife or kids he was sorry for being a bad example, or probably a multitude of things. He never got a chance to write a letter to his mom. Never had that. But I did. I'm in churches where Christians need to do something like that. And they do have a chance. This guy missed it. I hope you don't miss it. You better quit putting it off. You need to go to someone. You need to do it while you can. I was in a funeral back in March. Young man got up there at the grave site, and his dad is getting ready to be lowered into the ground. And they had just little aught, not a big deal. But he said, you know, and his mother told us later that he'd been, just convicted and had a burden on his heart. He wanted to just tell his dad he was sorry about some things. Amen. And he'd go over there, and his dad was sick, and his dad was struggling, and it wouldn't be, it didn't seem like the right time. Translation, he chickened out.
Amen.
And then it's over. Then his dad died. And he had to stand there at the gravesite and tell those of us that were assembled that he waited too long. Can I say to you, don't wait till it's too long? I am glad this guy got saved, but he missed that opportunity. Tell you something else, he never got a chance to witness to any of his friends. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus told the maniac Gadara, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. Amen. Listen, even maniacs and convicts had friends. Some of you know this. Sometimes it's after you get saved, it's your friends, and sometimes that includes family members that are the hardest to reach. Brother Dell and I were just talking about that. You know why? because they knew you at your worst. They're going to be your biggest critics. Amen?
Amen.
Sometimes it takes a long time to convince them that it's real. Amen. Amen. You don't have credibility because your testimony was so bad before. It takes a while to rebuild that credibility. It takes time to build a testimony. We had a gal in our church, and every prayer meeting night, she'd say, please pray for my brother. My brother, he knew me before. I can't get through to him, blah, blah, blah. And finally, everybody prayed for him. Finally, the preacher said, listen, sis, why don't you go try to win somebody else's brother and ask God to send somebody to yours?
Amen.
Because she wasn't getting through. But that doesn't mean God can't get through.
Amen.
Sometimes it's the people that knew you the best that are hardest to reach. My friends didn't take it so well when I got saved. Well, they didn't understand. I wouldn't have either.
Amen.
I mean, I know how we thought back then. The Bible confirms the natural man doesn't get it. They're spiritually discerned. Amen. So many of the first thought came to mind because of my position was that I would... potentially a loose end. And we didn't do loose ends. It was suggested, it was seriously suggested that I be eliminated so that there was no risk. Mm-hmm. Yep. And they were capable of doing it. Obviously God had other ideas. Now many of them are in the grave and in hell or in prison. And I'm up here having the time of my life.
Amen.
Say, what's the secret? Well, okay. I went into the Jehovah Witness Protection Program. Not to be confused with the previous owners of your building.
Amen.
I mean a real Jehovah.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Can I get a witness?
Yes!
I would preach in prisons and I'd go to places and talk to gang members and dope heads and drunks and anybody that would listen, and they'll listen because like I'm loud and they can't go anywhere. Matter of fact, that's what I got called to preach at Jimmy Hood's Mission.
Amen.
I just would go to the jail. They didn't care. They didn't care I got tattoos. They didn't care I smoked cigarettes. They didn't care. They wouldn't listen to me.
Amen.
Can I say this? I was a dope addict and a drunk for over 20 years. And when I got saved, God gave me victory over liquor and cocaine was my big problem, snorting it. And I never did that stuff again after I got saved.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, I told God a week after, I said, if I ever put that devil's dandruff in my nose again, just kill me. I don't know if that's scriptural or not, but I ain't taking no chances.
Amen, amen.
And I never have. Of course, I was in jail. It was easy. So by the time I got out of jail, I had a leg up on it. But I tell you what, I smoked cigarettes for 23 years, and when I got out of jail, buddy, the first thing I wanted was a pack of Marlboros. And I got one. And I tell you what, it bothered me to no end that as a man, tough guy, I couldn't get victory over that stinking little cancer stick. And it took a while. It took longer than I'm willing to admit. Amen. It bothered me. I'd go to an altar and I'd say, God, I need your help here. This thing has got me. It's 10 times more addictive. That's the nicotine is the most addictive thing in the country. There is in the world. And it's legal. Amen? Talk about the devil laughing. We got legislators, politicians with a martini in one hand, alcohol, and a cigarette in the other, talking about a war on drugs. And the devil's laughing all the way to the
back. Amen.
Two most dangerous drugs in the world is alcohol and nicotine.
Amen.
I fought it. I hated it. That it was so hard. And I went to prayer meeting one night. And I went to prayer meeting. I went to everything. I wasn't a couch potato when I was lost. I was out and about all the time. So when I got saved, I started going to Bible Institute. Amen. I went to everything. I went street preaching. I'd go to prayer meeting one night. We had a guy got saved. He said he did. Now, I didn't like him, so I can be critical. Name was Roger. He was a loudmouth. I didn't like him. And I tell you what, I can spot him. I can spot a phony. I didn't live that long on the street by not being able to spot a phony. I spot phonies in church.
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher.
Amen. Ain't my job to front them out, but I watch them. And I've seen God turn some people around.
Amen.
And I've seen the devil turn some people around, too.
Amen.
I went to prayer meeting, and in comes Roger. I was not happy as soon as he walked in. I didn't like him. I really didn't like him when he said this. He said, I just wanted to add smoke cigarettes for 20 years, and the moment I got saved, God delivered me. That really bummed me out. Yeah, I didn't like him even more than I didn't like him already. But then he said this. Preacher, brother, he's up there. I don't believe anybody that's really, truly saved could smoke a cigarette. I turned around and I looked at him and I said, Roger, I said, me and you's going to go outside right now and I'm going to show you that a person that's truly saved could punch you right in the teeth while smoking a cigarette.
He didn't last much longer.
Amen. I'd ask the Lord, I'm going to jail, but it says go home to thy friends, and my friends think, you know, they're afraid I was going to rat them out. It took a long time for them to figure it out that I didn't. 20 years. 20 years. Amen. I just didn't give up. But I said, Lord, how do I go home to my crowd? They don't trust me. They think I turned on them. Once they realized that I wasn't a rat, they said, Spurgeon went in there and got brainwashed. You know, and I said, I got more not washed.
Amen.
I got my sin washed.
Amen.
I ain't got over it. I said, how do I reach him? You know what he told me to do? He said, write a book. I said, you're kidding me. Took 5 years. Amen. I don't know how he keeps cranking them out. Oh, that's because he's smart. Yeah, praise the Lord for it too. Amen. My publisher had called and said, well, you need to do that. I said, let's make something real clear right now. I'm a preacher. I'm not an author. Amen. I'm not. But I wrote that book, and I just take it. If you've read it, I take it to establish my credibility in that world that God sent me out of. So I have credibility when I give them the gospel straight over the plate, waist high.
Amen.
15,000, 16,000 of them been saved. Been printed, some people have gotten saved. Amen?
Amen.
That's where that came from.
Amen.
I had a burden for my friends. Amen. Now I got some of them coming to church, amen, preaching down North Carolina.
Amen.
On my support slip from a church in Florida that handles my massive amounts of monthly support, actually, God takes great care of us, for sure. About 2 months ago, there is a $250 offering, from the American Outlaw Association of Monroe, North Carolina. They're supporting my ministry.
Amen. Amen. That's good. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Every month I check, they're behind.
$250 a month, man, for some churches, that's a year right there.
Amen.
Amen. So, praise the Lord. I told my wife, I said, they're laundering money. <That's what> they're
This guy never had a chance to go home to his friends. My daughter, and I don't know if it's on one of the CDs that are on the table, too. Did you notice how I worked that in, too? That's pretty good. No. I'm not sure if it's on one of my thinking, but my youngest daughter, Evie, thank you for the people that have inquired about her. She's doing great. Thank you for the prayers. She sang a song called My Friend, and it's sung by a person that's in hell on their way to, I don't know for sure. I have a list of
And she's singing the song to a girl that was her best friend. And her best friend was a Christian. And the song goes, you knew about this? You knew? All them years, we were friends, we did everything together. You knew that I wasn't a Christian, that I was going to end up in hell, and you never told me, you never warned me. And a song, yeah, I mean, it's convicting. What kind of friend is that? I mean, in the old days, whatever that means, they used to have an ad campaign against drunk driving. Friends don't let friends drive drunk. Amen. Maybe we should tweak that a little bit and say, friends, Christians don't let their friend die and go to hell.
Amen.
Without trying, without talking to them, without witnessing to them.
Yes, sir. Amen. Preacher.
You're more afraid of making them mad than you are seeing them kicked off into a lake of fire at the great white shore of judgment.
Amen.
I feel sorry for the guy. Because for the last 30 years, I've been trying to tell others. I ain't got over it yet. I feel sorry for him. He never got a chance to try to reach any of his friends. Amen. This guy died and went to heaven shortly after meeting Jesus Christ. And I don't know if he had anybody he would have told. But I know this. He never got the opportunity. But what about you? What about you in here tonight? What opportunities are you missing out on? Who do you know? Who do you work with? Who do you live next door? Who do you care about? But you've never told them about Christ. You've never invited them to church where they could hear the gospel message. We are supposed to try.
Amen.
I mean, I'm no, you know, science major, but if I lit a big lighter in here right now, it'd be a little flame. You might see it. But if you turned every light in the room off, that little light's still the same, but it'd be pretty bright. Now, if it's getting spiritually darker, like we like to preach, it ought to make it easier for us to shine.
Amen.
This guy never got a chance to tell anybody, but you do. And he died that day. What is your excuse? Amen? So he never got a chance to get things right with his family. He never got a chance to witness to his friends. Thank God he ended up in the right place. But he missed out on some things, didn't he? People that get saved miss out on things for different reasons. Probably the biggest one is I'll get around to it eventually. And then just never do. And you know what? Truth is, I've learned this. A lot of things in life that you never get around to didn't make no difference, didn't matter. But souls aren't one of them. There's no acceptable loss to God. He's not willing that any should perish. Amen. He never got a chance to get things right with his family. He never got a chance to witness to his friends. I hope no one in here misses out on these things. Let me close with this. He never got the opportunity to live for God. You see, some people act like it's a have to, supposed to. Man, to me, it's a get to.
Amen.
Take your Bible, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In verse 14, the Bible says this, familiar passage, it should be. The Bible says this, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that is the case. Jesus Christ died for all, and we were all dead in trespasses and sin, Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 15, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Now, if a person gets saved, they are absolutely allowed to live unto themselves. It is their only option. But if you got in on the grace of God, the greatest sacrifice and the most expensive gift that was ever given, you're supposed to live for him now. Amen. You're supposed to live for God out of gratitude. Amen. Not rules. Not fear. Not guilt. It says the love of Christ constraineth us. I've heard preachers portray God as some tyrannical potentate who can't wait to bring the hammer down on his disobedient subjects. I've heard that kind of preaching and might have even done some when I didn't know any better. But that's not my God.
Amen.
Amen. And I know some preachers that may be like that over their flock. But my God isn't like that.
Amen.
Her and I, we live for God. We serve God. We try to do right. Not because we're super spiritual.
Amen, preacher.
Amen. It's because we love him.
Amen.
Amen. He deserves it.
Amen.
Amen. It says we love him because he first loved us.
Yeah.
Bible says that God committed his love toward us in that while. He don't love you because you cleaned up nice and learned to sing a special.
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher.
Amen. He loved you before.
Yeah.
Committed his love toward us and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let me tell you something tonight. It is a privilege to live for God.
Amen.
Amen. It's exciting to live for God. It's fun.
Yeah.
I got involved in all that motorcycle, not because I wanted to be a felon. I just want to have a good time. I've been living for God for 30 years. I'm having more fun than I ever had.
Yeah.
And that's not some mountaintop experience. There's been some rough times, but I mean, remember there was before.
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher.
Amen. But I heard a guy say this one time. He said, if you're not enjoying the Christian life, it's because you're not doing it right.
Amen, preacher. Amen.
If you're not enjoying your Christianity, it's because there's some sin that needs to be gotten right.
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher.
I've watched the Lord carry people through their spouses dying of terminal disease with more joy than some of the people I preach to week after week.
Yes,
amen.
Sir.
Their heart's not in it. God's not in their thoughts like he should be.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Our subject tonight never got the opportunity to see God do great and mighty things.
Yeah.
It says in Jeremiah 33 and verse 3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not.
Yeah,
I've done that. I've seen him do great and mighty things. I know Christians have never done that. I mean, they punch the clock, you know, they go to church and they do all the little things that they're supposed to do. But I mean, I've been in some situations where I had to just get back, get on my face on old-fashioned altar or wherever and cry out to God. And I've seen God answer prayer and I've seen God do things that nobody could take credit for.
Amen.
He likes that too.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Because our testimony as human beings is we will take the credit. We will brag on ourselves. That's why salvation is by grace through faith and not of works, lest any man should boast. We brag on stuff down here God does, and he puts up with it, but he ain't going to put up with it up there.
Amen.
You get up there, you're going to know it's all him.
Yes, sir.
Amen. What'd you do to get here? I asked Jesus to forgive my sin. Yeah, me too. Yeah. Yeah, you can go around for 1,000 years and that's going to be the testimony everybody's there. Say, well, whatever so-and-so is, did you see? He said, I ain't seen him.
No.
He went to the wrong place. Tell you what, this guy never got to see any other prayers answered. Yeah, and the main one, you know, some of us, we get saved and he answers that. Preacher's been saying it. Well, that ain't it.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Getting saved is not the end of the Christian life. It's the beginning.
Sir.
Amen. This guy never got a chance to pray and see God move. You know, my wife, she'll ask preachers' wives, she'll ask Christian ladies all over the country. You haven't noticed she's friendly. She didn't get it from me. I'm trying to get some of it from her. Amen. Not that I'm going to talk to women, but anyway. And she'll say to ladies, you know, that are saved and are in church, she'll say this, I've heard her. When did it get real to you?
Amen.
Personally. Yeah, we know the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, all that. But when did it get real?
Amen.
situation, some situation, and I started praying, and I, you know, we know to do these things, we got the mechanics, and I saw God move and answer that prayer.
Amen.
And I knew that He heard my prayer. Amen. We've got a personal God.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Say, well, I've never had that happen. Really? How about let's try it again?
Amen.
Amen.
But if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me.
Yes, sir.
You've got to get back to getting out of creating me a right spirit. No, it doesn't do that. It's creating a clean heart.
Yep. Amen. Preacher.
And renew, how does it say? Renew a right spirit within me. And you got to do things in God's order.
Amen. But I've been sorry for this guy. He never got a chance to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Amen. What an amazing book this is.
Amen.
It's a marvel. That's an understatement. He never got a chance to be part of a church family. That's a big deal. I'll tell you how big a deal it is. Now, I didn't end up at a Bible-believing Baptist church because I was on a spiritual quest. Some of you have ended up here because you've been through things and you wanted the truth and you found a place where we don't give you our opinion. We just open the Bible and praise the Lord. That may be the case with a lot. I got saved in jail and I got, when I made bond finally, God put me right, the guy that came and witnessed to me a month before was from this. I'd never been in a Baptist church in my life. I walked in the door, met a Bible-believing man, Dr. Estep, who just preached that book and taught us that we are eternally secure. And amen. And I got in on it. It was all a gift to me. Amen. Just like salvation. And so then I would hear the importance of the church family and people being faithful. And we had the same crowd Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I mean, we might have 6 or 8 visitors. Other than that, everybody came because they was hungry for the book.
Amen.
And I saw, you know what I looked at? I mean, I'm the guy from the military and the camaraderie of the military and the brotherhood of the bikers. And everything was disappointing before long and sooner or later. And I got in this little church. And it didn't take long to realize this is what I've been looking for all my life. Something real.
Amen. Amen.
And the brotherhood that everybody's trying to imitate, Jesus Christ established for us.
Amen. Amen.
Then there was the day in 1995. My Bible teacher, dear friend, Vietnam veteran, Mike Constein, spent 28 years in a wheelchair from being shot in Vietnam. Took me under his wing, befriended me, hair down the middle of my back, sat out in the driveway in the winter with me, taking notes, picking my brain, showed real interest. And the most godly Christian I've ever met to this day.
Amen.
I married his widow, and I raised his children, his Amen. Orphans, and I still miss him.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
I was there the night that they had to announce he was having some issues, and Sue told the church he had Lou Gehrig's. And I heard a moan come out of that body like I've never heard since, a grief. And I watched a little church, no bigger than this, rally around a family for 2 years. Over 75, 85 meals were brought. Somebody homeschooled a kid. She came home from the VA one day, and the ladies from the church are out planting flowers, and the men of the church are in the house fixing things that have been neglected because everything went medical. People were painting. I walk as a young Christian, it says, bearing one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And I watched that charity in action. That's what love in action. That's what charity, that's the name of our church. And I watched it as a young Christian. I thought, wow.
Amen. Amen.
That's why it's important to me. I had a good lesson on it. And this guy never got a chance to be part of something like that, where people do
pray for each other, and people will help each other.
Amen.
And Blessed Hope, the reason it's so dear to us to be able to come here, the reason we walk in and feel so at home, yeah, you're nice people, but I would guess I would have to narrow it down to there's a spirit here that I long for. Amen. That I got introduced to as a young Christian, and it speaks to my heart.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And I don't feel that everywhere, and I'm not the authority on anything, and that's just fine. People are different, but there are places that just...
Amen, preacher.
And this is one of them. And this guy never got a chance to get in on that. And I'm in churches where there's people that do have a chance to get in on that.
Amen.
They just don't get plugged in, won't get plugged in.
Amen.
You're missing out. Yes, this guy died the day he got saved, but you don't have that excuse.
Amen.
We're not competition.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Amen. We're just part of trying to show Christ that we appreciate what he did.
Amen.
Not a game.
Yes, sir.
I didn't play games when I was lost. I don't play games now.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. This is the realest thing on the planet.
Amen.
What we've got right here is a wait, what's the word I'm looking for? It's a picture. It's a, what am I? You got it? You know the word?
What she said. That's what I have not. You know, I've got a chance. I'm almost done. I'm not going to say that 20 times, but I'm going to. You never got a chance to fulfill the Great Commission. That's a big deal. I mean, Mark recorded, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. And we can do that by supporting missionaries. This guy never got to do that. He never got to hear a prayer letter read of a missionary that he had prayed for or had supported. He never heard him praising God for getting him through something we can't even comprehend.
Yes, sir. Amen.
My lone souls that were saved. Amen. That's a thrill. Amen.
Amen.
He couldn't get it on. Are you in on it? If not, why not? What's your excuse? Why would you risk being in the same scenario as a guy like this when you've got opportunities?
Amen.
Amen. I'm trying to encourage you tonight. Get in on him. He never got to see anybody else get saved. Somebody said, Brother Spurgeon, does God still do miracles? I said, does he still do miracles? The new birth is the greatest miracle there is.
Amen, amen, amen.
Amen. He never got to see anybody else get saved. Amen. How about you? He never got to lead anybody to Christ. Personally. Tell you, that'll ruin you. You know why some Christians have no joy and just a ho-hum attitude toward coming to church? Because they never got in on that right there.
Yes, sir.
They never had a part in seeing somebody else get born again. You realize that when a soul, if your whole life yields enough influence that one soul lives forever.
Amen.
Amen.
That's a good praise.
You can, that's more important than Bill Gates and all them idiots that by the world standards have. You can have a part in a soul living for eternity.
Amen. Amen.
That ought to be something to shoot for.
Yeah, right.
Amen? This guy never got a chance to get in on that. But you do.
Amen.
And I understand everybody's not a super soul winner, whatever that means, or big hyper-person. Well, I'm not very good at talking to other people. Yeah. And the very person that said that, I noticed the next night, as soon as they hit the door, they're on that stinking phone.
Amen.
And they sit up there, yeah, like he's at, for 30 minutes. Sounds like you're pretty good at talking to people about what you want to
know. Amen. Preacher, brother. Yes, sir. Amen, brother.
Ain't no spiritual opposition to that.
Amen.
Amen. I'm just saying, man. The reason Christianity gets stale and gets old is because you're not getting in on it.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
glad, and again, I'm not super spiritual by any means. I got put in a place where these things became real important, and I saw them, and many miss out on the benefits of being a Christian, but they don't have the good reason he had. So, what about you tonight? I'm not asking if you're saved, but just think about it. What opportunities are you missing out on? If you've got something that needs to be gotten right with family or friend, don't wait till you're standing at the cemetery and regretting that you never just went and got the thing straightened out. This would be a great time to address it. This would be a great, maybe the person you need to talk to is not even here. Be a good time to start asking God to give you more courage than you've shown so far. Or swallow your pride, whatever it is. You'll be glad you did. There's aught with somebody you need to apologize for. Just do it. I know it's hard, but you'll be glad you did. Amen. Say, well, we heard that the other day. Wonder why God brings repetition into a meeting. Amen. I know the Bible has a lot to do with it. How about that friend, neighbor, coworker, relatives that you wave to? Hi. And you ain't never said nothing about Jesus Christ or gave him a track or invited him to church. You're just going to wave to them the rest of their life. Amen. And they're going to drop off into hell. That's okay. There's something wrong with that. And then are you endeavoring to live for God? And you ought to, because living for yourself is about the vainest thing you could ever do. Bible says, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. And you're going to have to make a point to do that. It'll never happen on its own. The flesh will never allow it. You have to make up your mind once and for all. And after getting saved, it's the most important decision you'll ever make. And if you never have, you need to make up. You know, I like going to San Antonio and hearing the story of the Alamo. And William Travis drew that sword and drew a line in the sand. And he challenged them to cross over. And I learned a long time ago, that's exactly what this book will do in your life. It draws a line in the sand, and it challenges you to step over. It won't make you. Amen? That's what I'm doing tonight. Challenging to step over. Amen. Are you saved?
Amen.
Wouldn't it be a shame wouldn't it be a shame for a criminal to end up in heaven from the cross and you end up in hell from a church pew? It happens all the time. Jesus wasn't a criminal, but he died like one for our crimes, for our sins, so that we wouldn't have to. And he could do it and then rise from the dead because he's God.
Amen.
If you're in here tonight and you're not saved, you are not going to rise from the dead. You'll lift up your eyes in hell and tormented by fire, and you'll cry, have mercy on me, and you will not get it.
Right.
However, you cry out for mercy from God right now, and you can get it.
Amen.
You can get the forgiveness he went to the cross, crucified between two thieves, to make available. I hope you get it. I hope you get it while you can. Amen? Preacher, come on.